Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I am Dr. Peter Spiegel. I have a big show in store for you today. First, we have watched a powerful film, The Ghosts in Our Machine, which is a deeply moving treatment exploring our use of animals as products and our relationship with animals. I'll be speaking with the filmmaker shortly. Later in the hour, what does eye surgery have to do with the rights and welfare of animals? I have a very personal story to relate to you involving one of my professional medical societies and rabbits. Plus, Dallas is being overrun by strays and other animal news. That's later in the show. I recently had the distinct pleasure of screening a new film, The Ghosts in Our Machine, which I can heartily recommend. This 92-minute documentary is a beautiful and emotional exploration of our relationship with animals, and in particular, the ones we abuse and consume. Released in 2013 and garnering multiple awards, director, writer, and co-producer Liz Marshall is with us today. Welcome, Liz.
Hi there. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. How did you initially conceive of this film? Where does it come from?
Yeah, well, I get asked this question a lot. And would you like the short sort of soundbite, or would you like a little bit of a longer answer?
No, our listeners want to know where this comes from, and so do I.
Okay, great. Well, it's been a journey, and it started for me over 20 years ago when I read Diet for a New America by John Robbins. And that was sort of a manifesto at the time, linking environmental sanity, social justice, human health, and animal rights. And I was a young person at the time and read that and was quite profoundly affected. And it Yes. changed me right away. I decided, okay, I'm going to become vegetarian. I didn't make the shift to veganism, though. I became vegetarian. I stuck with vegetarianism for many years as I went on to study film. And then after I finished university studying film here in Toronto, I made a body of work, mostly focused on human rights issues. And my last film, Water on the Table, focuses on the global water crisis. And I kind of at times lost touch with my commitment to animals. And I think I was just wearing blinders and really focused on other significant issues. But about 4 years ago, or longer, maybe 6 years ago, thanks to my longtime partner who's an animal rights activist and vegan, I decided that I wanted my next feature documentary to be focused on the animal question. And, you know, when you are a documentary filmmaker, the process of making a film becomes quite epic. It becomes a huge chunk of your life. It's fully immersive. So when I started to delve deeply, beginning in 2010, and really researching and developing the concepts and putting a team together to create the film, I had a whole other layer of personal transformation and an experience, feeling quite overwhelmed actually by
yes.
the magnitude, just how staggering this issue is, and my own sort of blindness to it over the years, even though I've always loved animals and been very empathic towards animals. But I guess quickly what I realized and what I wanted the film to center around is the cognitive dissonance. That's something Bruce Friedrich talks a lot about. And, you know, humans have cleverly categorized animals into three parts. The animals that we love, who are members of our family, you know, our pets. And we like to conserve and protect wildlife like whales and wolves. But then there's the billions of others, and those are the ghosts, living in obscurity within the shadows of our highly mechanized world. And so I wanted to shine a light on the ghosts. I wanted to illuminate the lives of individual animals living within and rescued from the machine of our modern world. And I didn't want it to just be an issue film. I wanted it to also be a story. So that's where Joanne MacArthur comes in. She's the human protagonist that I chose. I invited her to be the person that I would focus on in the movie to help ground, anchor the issues. And so it's through her photographic lens, because she's an animal rights photographer. It's through her photographic lens and through her vision of the world and her heart, her connection to animals, that the film is structured. So
yes,
the audience is taken on a 92-minute journey through the heart and lens of Joanne MacArthur, and we meet a cast of animal characters.
And Joanne, she's quite a good choice, I would say, to place right there. She's quite a likable figure, certainly giving her all to this cause. And I'm wondering if you would describe a little bit about the frustration someone like her faces trying to communicate a message to the public at large.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the backstory of the movie. Is I wanted to focus on, you know, Joanne's quest to have her images seen by a wider audience. And I chose to, focus that in the film because I think it's symbolic of the social resistance to animal rights, but also society at large and mainstream media culture. We don't really see these images. We don't. It's not prevalent enough. It ought to be, you know, more on the public radar. So that's kind of a theme in the movie. And so I would say, you know, things are starting to shift quite a bit, and I think the film is part of that shift. The film has been a strong platform to pitch Joanne's photographs to the world. And also documentary is on the rise. And,
yes,
you know, the film has been invited to some amazing big film festivals all over the world. We've also had a broadcaster, national broadcaster here in Canada. And we're on iTunes, and we're slowly getting the film out there more and more. So I would say that, you know, the story within the movie of having Joanne pitching her work to a wider audience and also starting to write her book, her coffee table book that's called We Animals, which is consists of many, many images and text that she's written about her journey traveling the world over the last 10 years or so, documenting the plight of animals. And that book is now released. And you can...
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. And so I don't know if I really answered your question directly, but maybe more in a roundabout, big picture kind of way I did.
Yes.
Okay.
The film brings us on an exciting, I would say, covert operation into a fox farm. It's gripping. And a little scary, I have to say. Can you describe what you're trying to do there?
Yeah. So, I mean, we could have, you know, added some really suspenseful music and had jumpier cuts and stuff like that in how we delivered that sequence in the movie. I didn't really want to do that. I mean, it's kind of cliche, and everyone does that, kind of try, you know, to over-dramatize something and, you know, create sort of a thriller or, you know, suspense plot to draw people in. And I think the drama is inherent in the
yes.
sequence. So it's actually a little bit more low-key, but what we're actually seeing and what we're doing in that scene is following Joanne in Europe on an undercover investigation into fur farms. And she's with an amazing guy who, his name's Marcus in the movie. That's his undercover name. It's what he does. It's a big part of what he does. So it's kind of,
I will tell you, it is quite a scene that our viewers just need to see. And I want to tell you, we're speaking with Liz Marshall. The film is The Ghosts in Our Machine. We've got more to learn about this wonderful film right after the break. Stick with us. You're listening to Animals Today.
Right by with my tail in the air. Trick cat's John, I'm a feeling Casanova.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, IAnimals.org.
If you're like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more dust, and are stronger than ever. And Granger's got over 3,000 different styles and sizes to choose from. Just ordered a new batch from Granger.com today. I love oxygen, kid. And this facility's got some great AO2. I'm breathing easier just thinking about these air handler filters. Get some today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Granger.com/air handler, or stop by. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
Staples has great deals on everything you need to tell the world about your amazing cupcake shop.
Try our amazing cupcakes.
From large in-store signs and banners to custom t-shirts and menus. Everything.
Try our amazing cupcakes?
Yeah, sure. Oh, this tastes like feet.
Except amazing cupcakes. Thousands of products added to Staples.com every day.
Uh-oh.
Even antacids. Now get 50% off marketing materials. Staples. Make more happen.
Offerings 5-14. Minimum quantities and exclusions apply. See store associate or staples.com/copy and print for details.
Here's something you don't hear on the radio every day. Someone who can't see. I am totally blind. And I go through periods where I'm unable to sleep at night and feel like I'm constantly running but can never quite catch up. But this isn't a sleep problem. It's something called non-24. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmorenon24.com or call 855-856-2424.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking with Liz Marshall. The film is The Ghosts in Our Machine. And one of the themes I see very strongly come through in the film, Liz, is how disconnected we have become from our food. Would you tell us a little bit how you deal with that in the film?
Sure. You know, the film is a meditation on the industrialization of animals. It's staggering. 72 billion animals are raised within factory farming. The environment of factory farming worldwide for food every single year. And that's an HSUS statistic. And the film deals with this really, you know, disturbing and complex issue by following two rescued farmed animals with Farm Sanctuary. Farm Sanctuary in upstate New York is an amazing animal sanctuary where animals like Fanny and Sunny, who you meet in the movie, live out their lives very peacefully. It's sort of like a storybook from your childhood, actually. And I wanted to bring that kind of magic realism to the storytelling so that every time in the movie we arrive at Farm Sanctuary, it's like an ebb and flow, and when we arrive there, it provides some reprieve for the audience, but also for Joanne, who goes there to kind of be on a little bit of a retreat. And as she says in the movie, it's where she gets to spend time with happy animals. And so the animals that are rescued that live there are all from the industrialized system. Animals that are raised, bred, raised, and eventually slaughtered for food. So the focus of Fanny and Sunny is the dairy industry, actually. They're both rescued from the dairy industry, from an auction. And Fanny is a rescued, quote-unquote, spent dairy cow. So she was estimated to be about 3 years old when she was rescued. And she's very, very happy and healthy now, living her days out at Farm Sanctuary. And then Sunny was about 1 day old when he was rescued from the auction. Both of them were at an auction because they were sick and couldn't stand up. Sunny couldn't stand up, and Fanny was quite tattered. You see that in the movie. She's, you know, sort of skin and bones, and you know, her hooves are overgrown, and it's a sad sort of state that she's in. But you know, their recovery, their rehabilitation over the course of a year is documented in the movie, and it's quite a heartwarming storyline. And actually, it's a storyline that impacted me personally because I chose to go vegan, to become a vegan when I met them. And I think it's what maybe lots of people need, is they need to actually meet these animals, look them in the eye, in the eyes, and make that connection, as opposed to just reading about numbers and statistics and cruelty. And I think generally the collective we society tends to shut down very easily when it comes to learning about these harrowing situations. And also it gets very complicated when we're talking about the food that we love to eat. You know, most people will say that they love dairy, cheese and cream and all those things. So, you know, it gets behind the industries and meets the animals. So the animals have names and stories in the movie.
Right. I will just have to concur that Lori and I have both visited a sanctuary, a couple of sanctuaries for these animals, and it's very powerful, and the emotional experience is profound. As is the similarly, the emotional experience of seeing in your film beagle dogs and knowing how much dogs are a part of our lives, it was really nice that you could bring them in, perhaps as a stepping stone towards thinking in towards the other animals.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, dogs are, you know, so easy for us to relate to, and they've been so domesticated. They're, you know, we, you know, have this best friend kind of relationship with them. But what people don't know is that beagles are purpose-bred beagles. That's an actual term. Are bred and used within the biomedical research industry. So they're used for, you know, product testing, cleaning agents, you know, the chemicals that people use on their lawns, cigarettes, medicine, vet training, student training. So yes. There's really a dramatic story there. So I wanted to focus on the biomedical industry, but again, I wanted to bring the animals to light and to get to know them in the movie. So we get to know Abby and Maggie, who are rescued from that system and given a really happy life.
Especially memorable is when we are shown the ear tattoo in one of the dogs. I don't remember who it was, but
yeah,
really a good strong reminder. Holy cow. So a couple of concluding remarks about the film. How can people view this film, The Ghost in Our Machine, right now?
Okay, great. Well, first of all, it's on iTunes in the U.S. right now, and we're really encouraging people to watch it, share it, spread the word, let people know, because this exclusive digital distribution that we have ends in early July, and then there's, you know, we'll have a broadcaster that I can't announce just yet. So hopefully everyone will. If they want to watch the movie, they can, in the U.S., they can watch it on iTunes, The Ghosts in Our Machine. There's also other ways that people can watch the movie that are really exciting. We have an educational distributor in the U.S. called Bullfrog Films, and Bullfrog Films is the best educational distributor in the U.S. They've been around for 40 years, and you know, it's available now to libraries, colleges, universities, high school. So any teachers and educators that are listening, we encourage you, please support this film, get it into the curriculum, purchase it from Bullfrog Films in the U.S. And
that's
lastly,
great.
Yeah, I'll say one more thing, which is that for home video viewing with your family and friends, you can purchase our DVD from our website, which is theghostsinourmachine.com, and just click on shop. And we're releasing it in 2 weeks.
That's great. Okay, thank you very much, Liz Marshall. The film is The Ghosts in Our Machine. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing this wonderful film with us.
Yay. Thank you so much. Have a great
okay.
day.
Okay. Okay. Stick around after the break. Our experience with the world of pediatric ophthalmology and strabismus. You're listening to Animals Today.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match to the dangers to today's world. The good news is animal behavior experts say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that the outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a crying child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. It's fun for both of you. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there can be no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you not to give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late. This message brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, first off, I really enjoy your commercials about Geico's app. I watch them over and over and over. They make me both laugh and very hungry. Weird. Anyway, I just want to let you know how Geico's new claim status updates on the app really blow me away. Getting those updates makes me think of you. I'd like to thank you in person. Just send me your address. All the best, Big Bad W. Sure thing, Big Bad W. I got a pen. It's 802, not gonna happen lane.
Claim status updates, just a tap away on the Geico app.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
What do you mean you got there exactly on time?
Ever since we started using Fleetmatics to keep track of our trucks and vans, our business has been running really smoothly.
Are you telling me you've cut your fuel cost?
The boss doesn't have anything to yell about anymore, but some habits are hard to break.
Great! Another call from a happy customer.
Fleetmatics takes the drama out of business. Make fleet tracking more intelligent with real-time tracking, fuel monitoring, and more. Visit fleetmatics.com/start or call 1-877-350-DEMO for intelligence at work.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Hey, welcome back to Animals Today. You're listening to Dr. Peter Spiegel here. And for those of you who don't know, when I'm not working here on Animals Today or doing my work, our work on advancing the interests of animals, I am a full-time ophthalmologist, a specialist in pediatric ophthalmology. Pediatric ophthalmology and strabismus is the full title. And we, as a group, care for the eye needs of kids and adults, and a lot of this has to do with the alignment of the eyes. They cross in or out or up or down, and that misalignment we refer to as strabismus, right? And misalignment is strabismus, and a lot of what we do, like my main surgery that I do, is strabismus surgery, which has its goal to align the eyes by moving the eye muscles. And coincidentally, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this to you today is that the past few days, my professional organization, which is the American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus, is here right in my hometown, which is, you know, in the Southern California Coachella Valley Desert, and they are in, we are in Rancho Mirage, California, and I have been hanging out with all the pediatric ophthalmologists from the U.S. and around the world, indeed, talking about all the latest in eye care for kids and adults. And a few years ago, as I was paging through one of the recent journals, I came across an article that really got my attention, and I wanted to share this with you. And the article was a research paper titled Globe Perforation During Strabismus Surgery in an Animal Model, Treatment Versus Observation. And I will explain this to you, that this was a study done on rabbits, and the goal of the study was to try to decide how to manage a certain complication that can happen, which is when you are moving an eye muscle on an eye, you need to actually cut it off from its insertion on the globe and then actually sew it with little suture into the wall of the eye. So you sew it where you want to put it to change its action, to realign the eye and change its movement. So the question, which is an ongoing question in this kind of stuff, is what would be a good way to manage this thing if you have a complication whereby the needle is passed too deep into the wall of the eye, which can definitely happen. We've all probably done it. The wall of the eye is rather thin, and you want to be able to recognize when you do this and then treat it appropriately. So the study on these rabbits involved either saying, okay, I see what I did, I'm going to ignore it and observe it, or I am going to apply laser or freezing therapy and to make sure that further complications like retinal detachment or infections or bleeding don't happen. So this study looked at these rabbits and found that there was no difference in the outcome in the eyes, that you could watch it or you could freeze it or you could apply laser, and the outcome was the same. So this is your typical animal, not typical, but an example of a study where rabbits were used. Now, the interesting thing about this is that in the last paragraph of the article, they state, and I'll quote here, "Due to anatomical differences between human and rabbit eyes, we cannot generalize the results of this study to human subjects." Isn't that interesting? They did the study on rabbits, and then their main conclusion is that these results cannot be generalized to the care of human eyes and human people. So that struck us as completely crazy, actually, that one would do a study on rabbit eye muscles with the goal of what's the reason if you can't generalize this to people. I mean, you have to have some kind of rationale that going into the study that somehow relates to people, because no one really cares about doing eye muscle surgery on rabbits. Rabbits don't get misalignment of their eyes requiring surgery. So the only reason why you would do such a study would be to say, okay, now we're going to take these results and somehow relate them to something about taking care of people, and yet the conclusion is that we cannot do that, and in our view, undermining the whole rationale for the study. So I discussed this with Lori, who agreed, and then we also asked Dr. Larry Hansen, who is a well-known professor of pathology in University of California, San Diego, Department of School of Medicine, and he also concurred, and we decided we would write a letter back to the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus. That's the journal that my professional association publishes, and asked them to give them, and we gave them our views, and I wanted you to just to hear what we said about that. And we wrote, "We ask, if not to help humans, then what was the point of the study? Rabbits do not need strabismus surgery, so understanding complications due to eye surgery offers them no benefit." Further, we wrote, if the results could not be generalized to humans upon concluding the study, what was proposed at the onset of the research? Was proper review by the appropriate committees, which are responsible for monitoring the use of animals in experiments, made with the knowledge that the conclusions would not have relevance to humans? It seems to us that the use of the term, quote, animal model, which really means animal model of human disease, seems inappropriate in this instance. And we concluded, we are physicians and advocates for animals. We oppose unneeded vivisection, and this study is exactly that. Well, let me tell you, this letter really got the attention of the journal, and not only were the authors given ample opportunity to reply in print, which is standard, but the editor-in-chief of the journal, Dr. David Hunter, someone I know who's a leader in our field, came strongly to their defense, also writing an editorial that joined the letter from the reply from the authors. And both of them stated similar things. We have to advance science, and this is important to use animal models in our understanding of science, et cetera, et cetera. Well, at least they did not ignore us, and I was pleased that they even wrote. I was pleased that they even published our letter, which easily could have been ignored. I mean, they could have said things like, you know, you're just getting too nitpicky here, or we're just going to ignore it. But I think that the fact that they published it indicates that we struck a nerve here and really made them think about what is the purpose of this study, and also perhaps maybe to be more careful about choosing the articles that are published, or at least editing them better, because really, did the authors want to say that we could not generalize this to humans? Well, they wrote it, and the editors acknowledged that, and they did not have them rewrite it, and that's how it was published. And so it seeing that really made us wonder, what's in the mindset? And I would have to say we are going to speculate a little bit here, but what's in the mindset of the researchers who go through the process of utilizing these rabbits to do a study and then conclude that we can't generalize the results? Now, to me, I'm going to say that it's not such a big thing that they used these animals to do this study, whether or not they could generalize or not. They were determined to do a study on rabbits and to see what happened, since the rabbits are presumably of no value to them, and the lives of the rabbits really don't matter, you just order them and they appear, and then you do your thing, and then they get sacrificed, you're not really made to wonder very carefully exactly why are you doing this. That's my sort of theory on this. The Institutional Animal Care and Use Committee in the United States, those are the committees that look over the research protocols and make sure that the idea is fine and the use of the animals appropriate, quote unquote appropriate, and that they are follow the regulations. Some organization like that must have signed off on this study at some point, and yet the journal did publish it, and we're shocked, and we still are wondering really what happened behind the scenes. I'm not sure we'll ever know. Perhaps I'll meet David Hunter. Haven't seen him this time around, and ask him. I wouldn't want to put words in his mouth. So there's our little interaction with the Journal of the American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus, and their study on rabbits. You're listening to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Peter Spiegel. After the break, we've got some news items for you, including what's going on in Dallas.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, IAnimals.org.
In 1949, Scooter hopped on the horn and called up Geico to save himself some cashola.
In 1986, Clarissa gagged on a spoon when her insurance bill was way high. So she switched over to Geico and was like way amped with her savings.
OMG. In 2010, Sienna's parents got their savings on with Geico right after her Totes Awesome Sweet 16. That's nothing to LOL about.
Over the past 75 years, the expressions have changed, but one thing hasn't. Saving money with Geico.
Breathe it in, kid. Clean, fresh air thanks to these new air handler filters. They're more energy efficient, hold more dust, and are stronger than ever. And Granger's got over 3,000 different styles and sizes to choose from. Just ordered a new batch from Granger.com today. I love oxygen, kid. And this facility's got some great AO2. I'm breathing easier just thinking about these air handler filters. Get some today. Get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Granger.com/air handler, or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep because someone broke into her apartment and stole all her sheep, not to mention a 50-inch flat-screen TV. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency had helped her with renter's insurance, and she got full replacement. She has since trained her sheep to do voice impressions of various attack dogs, and now feels very safe. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
Here's something you don't hear on the radio every day. Someone who can't see. I am totally blind, and I go through periods where I'm unable to sleep at night and feel like I'm constantly running but can never quite catch up. But this isn't a sleep problem. It's something called Non-24. Learn about the link between total blindness and your symptoms. Visit learnmorenon24.com or call 855-856-2424.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
The 2014 Cupera features plush leather seating that will feel to your hemorrhoids like sitting on lava-hot knitting needles.
Not if you step up to relief with the power of two from Preparation H. First, use Preparation H medicated wipes to soothe as they clean. Then, Preparation H maximum strength cream to relieve pain and burning.
Now, sink into that rich upholstery. Mmm, luxurious.
Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids. Use as directed. Look for Preparation H at CVS.
I don't like sit-down dinners. I don't go to sit-down strikes. I like standing room only, and I don't ride bikes.
This pretty bad song is by a guy with pretty bad hemorrhoids. He needs Preparation H relief with the power of two. First, use fast-acting Preparation H medicated wipes, then longer-lasting Preparation H maximum strength cream.
Let's sit together on the porch swing.
Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids. Use as directed. Look for Preparation H at Rite Aid.
Welcome back. I want to thank you to listening to Animals Today and remind you, you can visit us on animalstodayradio.com. There you'll find all our previous shows for years are archived there, and you can listen through the website. If you want to sponsor the show, give us a call. Why don't you contact us? Email us at drlaurie@animalstodayradio.com. And if you want to speak with me with comment, a question, producer at animalstodayradio.com. That's how you can contact me. The show, of course, is sponsored by the group Advancing the Interests of Animals, and go to aianimals.org to see what's going on there. In addition to the radio show, there are a number of interesting animal campaigns, all promoting increased kindness and respect for all living beings. And let us know what you think. We appreciate it. In Dallas, I've got a couple. Let's just start there. In the a large district of Oak Cliff, they are dealing with many, many stray animals, and it's the main complaint of people at their city hall meetings. At one recent meeting, more than 50 people gathered to address the issue. People are afraid to really go outside for a walk. There are so many strays. So this really is another element of what we see in the statistics regarding euthanasia of adoptable animals in Dallas. And we really hope that they can sort of get it together. And also a greater reflection of the trouble that a lot of communities and cities in the southern part of the United States are dealing with compared to the northern communities and shelters, which do better in terms of getting adoptable dogs and cats actually into homes and out of the shelters rather than killing them. The most recent data comes from 2009, and the states with the lowest rate of release, okay, that is the highest euthanasia rate, include Louisiana Animal Control, Mississippi, Miami-Dade Animal Services, and Dallas also does quite poorly there. So we just hope that they could get it together in Dallas and figure out how to handle the issue of many strays, which are really just a reflection of a small reflection of a much larger problem, and lots of elements need to come in to handle the symptom of all the strays. You can round them up, but if you have no mechanism to adopt them and they're all going to be euthanized, it's not helping anyone. In Los Angeles, let's move to Los Angeles for a second, and I can't wait to hear really the backstory on this, but there was a officer who was bitten by a pit bull and then shot the dog, who was not expected to live. Apparently, this police officer was issuing a ticket to a bicyclist when allegedly the owner of this dog urged this dog and another to attack the officer. Incredible, right? One of the dogs latched onto the upper thigh of the officer, who then shot the animal. And so we'll see really what happened there. But imagine a scenario where you are not the person being ticketed. I wonder if there was a relationship between the person who had the dogs and the person on the bicycle who was being ticketed that would make the compel them to go, say, attack this officer. Not a very smart thing to do either, right? Right. So I'll let you know if we learn more about that crazy story. I saw a cute video on YouTube you should try to check out, and that is featuring rats, believe it or not. And I have a new appreciation for rats, thanks to our friend and board member Bob Ferber. Bob is a humane education specialist, former LA animal cruelty prosecutor and wonderful guy, and Bob has been using rats as friends that he brings into classrooms to engage children and to have them start thinking, you know, more humanely about animals. And he says that it works wonders, and some of the kids really light up being close to these animals. Well, so that's why when I saw the rats on YouTube, I was ready, sort of in the frame of mind, to say, okay, these guys are sort of cute. But this video was exceptional, featuring rats, trained rats, walking on little tight ropes that were created, retrieving a coin for a little treat. Rats were trained to shake their bodies, to do a little spin maneuver, to jump through a hoop. Really quite remarkable what you can do. I know some people have pet rats, and they seem to be very amenable to training if you know how to do it and if you got the right little kibbled, right? In Muskegon, Michigan, there was a fire, and lo and behold, the firefighters were told that there was a reptile in the house that was on fire, and specifically a 6-foot python was in its terrarium. And fortunately, one particular firefighter, Scott Hemmelsback, had previous experience handling reptiles and answered the plea from his senior, from his seniors, to go in and get this snake. So indeed, he ran back into the house and found the snake in the terrarium. The snake was trying to get out. There was a lot of smoke in this room, according to the firefighter, and he removed the screen off the top of it, and he knew how to approach the snake by coming from behind its head and grabbed it and was able to bring it out safely. And it made me wonder. By the way, he said he would do this for any creature. He was glad that it had a happy ending, and so am I. And I wonder if I would have the ability to go in there. I certainly have no experience rescuing snakes, but thanks to this officer. Well, I want to thank you for joining me on today's show. This is Dr. Peter Spiegel encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other being sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609, 817-274-1609, or at biztalkradio.com.
Radio News, I'm Precious Watson. A roadside bomb killed two Afghan election workers and one policeman and destroyed dozens of ballot papers on Sunday. Police and an election official said the day after an election that ended without any major violence, despite Taliban threats. Around 60% of eligible Afghan voters cast their ballots across the country.